Our church is a canvas. Each action, each decision, a brushstroke upon it. What picture are we painting? Who are we becoming?
Happy New Year, St. Luke's, and welcome to 2021. The ball dropped Thursday night in an empty Times Square, which we've never seen before on New Year's Eve. And as much as we're excited to start a new year, I imagine we're even more excited to end the old one. But while 2020 is officially behind us, we're a long way from being done with the effects of it. Yes, hope is on the horizon. Vaccines are being distributed, but caution is still needed. From the first injection, a person is not fully protected from the coronavirus until 1 to 2 weeks after the second vaccination, roughly a five-week period. So, in the words of the Surgeon General of the United States, with whom I was fortunate to be in a meeting just a couple of days before Christmas, he said, we still have to practice the four W's. He said for a long time, he had three W's, but recently he added a fourth. Wear mask, wash hands, watch your distance, and wait to gather. So 2020 will continue to be with us for a while. And one of the hangovers of 2020, which might not be the best analogy to use for a couple of days after New Year's, but let's say a carryover, is our timidity to plan. One of the side effects of the pandemic has been apprehension. We've learned to qualify our plans and expectations with statements like, if things don't change, if new restrictions aren't imposed, if, we've come to use if a lot. Our oldest daughter, Julie, and her fiance, Christian, faced the challenge of planning a wedding in 2020. At first, they hoped they could have something in the fall, perhaps in Colorado, allowing family as well as their friends in California to attend. But surges in the summer changed all that. So they planned a smaller family wedding for New Year's Eve. But the surge after Thanksgiving changed that. Now they're looking at next summer, probably in August, but still wondering, will it be okay by then? Will people be safe and willing to travel? Many of you have faced these same issues this past year. You understand what it means to think conditionally, if things don't change, if we are able. And it can leave us feeling like 2020 rocked us with an uncertainty that says, nothing's for sure anymore. An article by the BBC points out that when we go for a long period of time without being able to plan and know what we can look forward to, it creates anxiety. It can lead to depression. That's why it's important to have something to anticipate, to look beyond the ifs and focus on what we know we're going to do. Forbes magazine even offered this advice, that rather than thinking about how COVID-19 has changed life, this is time to think about what has not changed. What has not changed. So, beginning today, we're starting a worship series to kick off 2021, thinking about what we can count on at St. Luke's this year. Who are we going to be? And the ways we're going to live out our mission no matter what changes around us. We're calling this series Becoming, Who We're Meant to Be. And we start today focusing on becoming connected again. In 2021, we are going to be a church that helps people grow stronger in their faith and in relationship with each other. Those two go hand in hand. We grow closer to God through community with each other. Now, that's not to say you can't grow closer to God without community, but we don't grow as close to God as when we are connected to each other. If we're to become who we are meant to be, then we must have relationships that deepen our spiritual growth. In the Gospel of John, Jesus uses an important image to illustrate this truth. It's one of the I am sayings in John. Statements that begin with Jesus saying, I am, and then using a symbol for his relationship to us and ours to each other. John 15 begins with Jesus saying, I am the true or the real vine. This image is rich with symbolism. Let's think about a few things. First, the grapevine represented the nation of Israel, God's desire to have a people through whom God works. In Jesus' day, the entrance to the temple was outlined with a vine and grape cluster covered in gold. You can see by this model how big it was in comparison to human figures. They say the individual grapes were the size of a person's head. Jesus uses an image people knew quite well, one that represented their relationship with God. And Jesus says, I am that vine. I am that real connection to God. Then he says, my Father is the vine dresser who prunes the vine. Now, any gardener understands the importance of pruning. Getting rid of dead branches, cutting back new shoots. If you don't prune a plant, it'll never produce fruit as it should or could. The object is not just to grow, it's to be effective. If you want to be effective in 2021, if you want to grow spiritually, a good question to consider is this. What might God want to prune in your life? Are there things no longer productive and it's time to release them? Are there things that weigh you down? Things that are dead and it's time to get rid of them? Things that really don't have the potential of producing life. Maybe some attitudes, negativity, complaint, criticism. Are there relationships weighing you down? Their influence on you is not helpful. And to be your healthiest, you need to break away. The hardest things to prune in life are those that were once rich and meaningful, but they aren't anymore. And the next hardest things to prune are those that are healthy and growing, but they're just too much. You can't do everything. You have to choose where to focus your energy and your resources and let go of the rest. What are the important places you believe God wants you to invest your primary energy this year? What might God want to prune in your life? I mean, that could be a whole sermon in and of itself. But look at how Jesus continues. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit. This image holds the secret to spiritual vitality and what it means to be the church. Let me point out two things about this statement. First, we are branches. We draw our source of life from the vine, from Jesus. But branches are not isolated from each other. They're interconnected. What Jesus teaches in this image is that our connection to him is intertwined with our connection to each other. This picture illustrates what Jesus is talking about here. It's a picture of a vine in summertime when all we can see are the leaves that cover the branches and the fruit they produce. But this next picture shows a grapevine in winter and how the vines, once the leaves are gone, you can see that they're tangled up with each other. It would be hard to know just which branch is producing what fruit. I guess you could say all the branches take equal credit. We are our healthiest and most productive when intertwined with others. That's how we grow. That's how we become more loving, more caring, more sensitive? By allowing our lives to get tied up with others, and not just others like us, but people who are different, who think differently, who live differently, but share a desire to know God. And think also about another important aspect of this being intertwined. This is how branches are able to support the weight of a grape cluster. Without wrapping around each other, they could never carry that weight. We are not meant to carry our burdens alone. We are dependent creatures. That's how we're made. We need others. One thing 2020 taught us is how difficult isolation can be. One of the worst forms of punishment is solitary confinement, because that's not how God made us. Remember the creation story? After each day's creation, God said, "It is good." When is the first time God uses the words, "not good"? When God observed that Adam was alone. There's a story about a Russian czar many years ago who became obsessed with understanding the true native language of people. He wondered, what language would a child speak if never influenced by other languages? What would that child say? So he took a newly born child away from its mother, had the baby raised in a sterile environment, a room where nurses would tend to the needs of the child, but they were never allowed to say a word in the child's presence. The experiment turned out to be a failure. The czar never learned his answer, because before the child ever spoke, he died. The story may be more fiction than fact, but after 2020, many of us can see the truth in it. It's impossible to thrive and be fully fruitful by ourselves. In the 1700s, there were a number of major religious revivals that swept across England and even made their way to America. But Methodism was the only one that lasted. Why? Because John Wesley knew that inspiration alone wasn't enough. Just having great preaching and music were not enough. People needed ways to keep their spiritual yearnings alive. So he got people into groups. Every week they would meet and simply respond to a question. "How is it with your soul?" They would go around the group, all of them answering that question. "This week, how is it with your soul?" Now, isn't that amazing? A religious movement spread around the world and now enters its fifth century because people were encouraged to meet together and share their souls. And where that doesn't happen, Methodism always wanes. St. Luke's will be a church this year that continues to help people grow closer to God and each other. Listen to what one couple in our church has to say about the small group they joined a little over a year ago.
"I'm Eileen Potenza."
"And I'm Carl Potenza."
"And we are part of the Cruzy small group. And we started with that group in October of 2019. So a little over a year we've been in this together."
"But I have to say that I was skeptical because I really wasn't sure that I wanted to do it every single week. And was unsure if my knowledge about the Bible and the fact that I didn't consider myself to be super religious put me in some disadvantage with others in the group."
"I was excited to join a group just to be able to share a little bit more about after we'd seen the sermon. It's nice to be able to talk. And I knew I knew a few of the people in the group, and they're outstanding people. And I thought this would just be a way to make more friends and who are a part of the church and share some of our faith."
"The group has really allowed us to be open and to really get to know each other very well. It's sort of deepened our bond. And even during the pandemic, or especially during the pandemic.
Everybody seems to feel comfortable in being vulnerable and talking to each other about what's going on in their lives, and we do too now. And these are people that we didn't necessarily know before. Some of them we did, but a lot of them we didn't. And everybody's going through a lot of the same things, some different things, but they're willing to share their pains. They're willing to ask, you know, for prayers, and also share in the good times and the positive things that are going on.
I didn't expect that we would get into things like racial inequity, as an example. And some of the people in our group have read a lot about this, have joined those classes that are being offered, and they're sharing that information, which is, like Eileen said, is causing us to sort of go back and reflect on where we stand on some of these important matters. So,
I definitely would encourage people to join a group, because it has just been a way, especially during the pandemic, but regardless, before that, a way to meet new people in the church, a way to form friendships that maybe people that we didn't know before that we're very connected to, and just a way to share what you've learned and what others have learned, and revisit the sermon from Sunday and what's going on in the church and new ways to help in the church, new ways that we can volunteer or be part of things that we didn't maybe know about before.
In overall, I would say that I believe that our lives are immeasurably richer as a result of these friendships.
Starting this week, small groups are kicking off in St. Luke's. You heard in the announcements earlier in the service that you can go to our website, stlukesumc.com, click on the tab Grow, then click on Groups and Classes, and go to Group Finder to help locate a group to join. Now, if you want to talk with someone first, contact Reverend Mindy Moore or Kaylee Vita at the church. So, we think about the importance of that first image, that the vines are interconnected with each other, and we also draw our source of help from Christ. But I want you to also consider a second image, and that is the feeling of being a branch. I mean, just let yourself for a moment be a branch. I want you to put out one arm and imagine that you're grasping the vine. Come on, do it. Stretch out an arm. You are connected to the vine on that end of your life. This is your life source. And then put out your other arm. And on this hand, open up your fingers, because this hand dangles the fruit that gets produced through your life, your works, your achievements, the things that God can use through what you do. The question this exercise raises is, which side of the branch gets more of your attention? The vine or the produce? If your arms are starting to get tired, you can put them down, but keep thinking which end you tend to look toward more. You know, for me, I want to say, yeah, it's the vine. That's what gets my attention, because I know Christ is the source of my strength, and without him, I can't do anything. But I also know, if I'm honest, there is a pull within me that wants to pay attention to what's going on over here and the fruit of my life and what's being produced through me, and to wonder, is it enough? Should it be better? Is it really making any difference in the world? And to focus on that and forget that God says to me, I never called you to be successful. I never said, Rob, come and follow me and be successful. That's up to you. No. He says, just connect to me. Just let me pour myself into your life and let your life be a vessel to let my love flow through your life. Don't worry about what gets produced. If you will just be content with being obedient and focusing on staying connected to me, your life will more than matter. I imagine that's why John Wesley encouraged the people called Methodists to pray a very simple prayer at the start of every year. He probably saw enough Christians begin the year with good intentions, but quickly allowed their own successes or failures to take over. And you know what? Either can ruin us. We can be as ruined by our successes as we can our failures. So he encouraged people to pray this incredible prayer of humility at the beginning of every year that focuses us on the source of our spiritual life, on Christ and our covenant with him. So that's how I want us to close the message right now, praying together the Wesley Covenant Prayer. And it's even in the language that John Wesley first used in the 1700s. This is a prayer Wesley encourages every Methodist to begin the year praying. So right now, as you see the words on the screen, I invite you to pray out loud with me. I am no longer my own, but thine. Put me to what thou wilt, rank me with whom thou wilt. Put me to doing, put me to suffering. Let me be employed by thee, or laid aside by thee. Exalted for thee, or brought low for thee. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all things, let me have nothing. I freely and heartily yield all things to thy pleasure and disposal. And now, O glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thou art mine and I am thine. So be it. And the covenant which I have made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. Amen. And now we conclude the service today on this first Sunday of the year, sharing in the very symbol of our covenant with God. You know, Holy Communion is a very uplifting symbol, and it is a very humbling symbol because it represents that we're needy people. We all need help. We all need forgiveness. We mess up. We screw up. We need pardon. And it's uplifting because this symbol says God doesn't even wait until we ask for help to come and offer it. God meets us and offers forgiveness and hope of new life through this gift. So whatever you're using for bread at home, I invite you to take it right now and to lift it up, and if you're able, to tear it and remember how Jesus took bread in the company of his followers and offered it to them and said, take and eat, for this is my body broken for you. It means that Christ meets us in the places of our brokenness and in the brokenness of our world and says, take and eat in remembrance of me. And then if you'll lift up your cup, we remember how Jesus lifted up the cup in the company of his followers and again returned thanks to God and blessed it and gave it to them and said, drink from this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for all the world for the forgiveness of your sins. Do this in remembrance of me. So let's join together in the prayer which you'll see on the screen as we prepare to receive communion. Let us say, we do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own goodness, but in your unfailing mercy. We thank you for your presence in this meal and for offering us your unconditional acceptance and love. We surrender ourselves and our concerns into your loving hands. In Christ's name, amen. So right now, as we continue to worship and sing together, I invite you to take this moment on this first Sunday of 2021 and share in this sacramental meal and symbol of God's covenant with you.